What would you do if a seemingly innocent child knocked on your door and needed help? It sounds safe enough, but what if your intuition and your gut instinct was to slam the door and lock it? And what if as you shut the door, you caught a quick glance of the child's black, soulless eyes? Today, we test the believability of the black-eyed kids.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. I am so excited about this topic. I feel a little bit like a swiper, no swiping. Like, this is a topic originally that Charlie told me about, so now I get to tell him about
it. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear your takes on this.
I don't think there's only one take, but...
Well, I mean, like, your... through your eyes.
You know what I will say? I'm excited to know where you land on this, because the last time we talked about this, we didn't rate whether or not we find it believable. It was more like, this is what they say.
That's true.
That's interesting. So I hope everybody's had a good week. I just kind of want to jump into this. There's a lot of stories.
Yeah. Let's do this.
This is the breakdown. One, we're going to tell you what the hell black-eyed kids are.
Ooh.
Also known as black-eyed children. We don't discriminate. Two, we're going to talk about encounters, because you know if you get a Tyler episode, that you're gonna get personal experiences found from the most reliable corners of the web. And then we're gonna very lightly talk about what they could be, and then obviously the discussion. And I'm excited, and feel free again to jump in, because I know you know what black-eyed kids are.
Yeah.
So
can I tell you a story really quick?
Yeah.
So in 2016, when I was working at a movie theater, I was on my break. It was middle of the day, right? And I was going through like some horror story holes. Right?
I don't know. Like Shia LaBeouf?
Like rabbit holes.
Oh,
just going through stuff. Like, I'm in break, dreading going back to work, right?
Yeah.
And that's the first time I heard about Black Eyed Kids.
Okay. So you've known about them for about 5 years now.
Yeah. So I was, like, going through this. I was, like, reading stories. So I was like, that's what? That's crazy. And then I had to go back to the movie theater.
He's like, I haven't slept since. So what are Black Eyed Kids? Black Eyed Kids, a.k.a. black-eyed children, are creepy, unsettling little kids, often between the ages, obviously guesstimated 6 to 16. You don't typically ask them what your age is. And they usually have pale skin, and they'll wear outdated or very bland, unmarked clothing. And you typically don't notice right away. Maybe they're looking down, maybe you're not making eye contact. But when you look up at them, they have pitch black eyes. Like, no white part. I mean, I'm not going to break down, you know, the iris, the cornea, the pupil. You know what eyes are. You've seen people. All black.
Yeah,
none of that white stuff. No,
right.
No blue eyes. Like, who has blue eyes? Who's a...
A person that I know personally?
No.
Someone famous.
Yeah.
Elijah Woods.
Yes. He's no Elijah Woods.
You got it. Yes.
Full black eyes. So typically, these mysterious children appear at night and are found hitchhiking, or coming to an unsuspecting person's house, or even wandering abandoned streets, often in groups of two or more. But
they're coming to gang.
Yeah, coming to gang. They're coming to mess your street up.
Yeah, they don't like to travel by themselves, though. Not to cut you off, but they don't like to be by themselves.
Does anybody like to be by themselves, though?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
That's nice. There's like universal truth there.
Something. Yeah. Okay, so but beyond being creepy and having black eyes, what do they actually do? So I'm sure you're familiar with like the vampire lore of like they can't enter until they get permission.
That's the main premise of Buffy. So yeah.
Yeah, Buffy. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Seth Green. Well, it's kind of like that. This is going to be highlighted in a lot of the encounter stories that we touch on.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, whether you are at your house or in a car, these children will get your attention and they will want something from you. They will request something from you, whether it be a ride, to use your phone,
social security number,
to come into your house, anything really. And sometimes, to kind of add an extra level of like creepiness, sometimes they'll ask you for something that is just completely outdated. Like, they'll come to your door and in like a robotic, like lacking any tone, just like ask to use your telegraph.
Oh, like what? I don't have a telegraph? Like what?
Yeah, like.
Or like, I don't have a fax machine.
I know, they're like, can I use your landline? Oh. It's like, all right, listen, this ain't 2003, okay? So when this request is made by the black-eyed kid, the person that is getting asked of whatever they need often gets a creepy, unsettling feeling, like a pit in their stomach. Like, even if they can't place their finger on it, even if the kid asks for something completely ordinary, like, can I use your phone? Now, maybe in 2021, it's a little weird to go to a door, you know, do that. But, like, if you take a step back, you're not listening to a paranormal podcast, and somebody's like, yeah, I was home last night, and a kid came to the door and needed to use a phone. It's like, okay, why are you telling me? You know what I mean? That in itself isn't necessarily creepy, but just the action of it happening gives the receiver of the request a very uneasy, unsettling feeling. And that's even before you see the eyes. It's kind of like the initial reaction to the social interaction.
Yeah, it's like that instinct feeling, right? Like in the back of your neck where your hairs stand up.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about it is I feel like there's almost like if you think about the innocence or the humanity of wanting to help a child, like children are innocent, you know, you want to help them, you want to do what you can. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that instead our natural reaction is fear and to want to ignore them and shove them away. It's not a typical reaction that you would have to a child if they are, in fact, a child.
Yes.
Or human for that matter. But before, like even when you're having that experience, they almost put you in a hypnotic trance. I don't know if they necessarily can do hypnosis. I mean, like, and you have him, it's before eye contact. This is all before eye contact. This is just knock on the door, request. You are almost put in a hypnotic trance where before you realize it and before you really process what's happening, you're going to open the door. You're going to help them. And then it's almost like, in many of the stories at least, it's almost like at the last second, one, you either come to your senses and like, wait, what's happening? What are they asking? Or two, you look at them in the eyes and you see this blackness and you freak out and you shut the door. If if your life depended on it, which it does. So you shut the door. And it also seems to be the case that when you see their black eyes, it's like a complete shift in dynamic.
It's like a trigger, right?
Yes. In them. Like, it's a trigger in you. Like, obviously, that's when, you know, your brain understands something's wrong here. But it also does a shift in the black-eyed kid. It's almost like an exposure.
Yeah.
It's like, how long can I hide that something's off, that I have these black eyes?
Yeah, it's like you've seen the ugly side, the truth.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's like, I guess going with like the vampire thing.
Yeah.
It would be like if the fangs were revealed, mm-hmm. or like you walk past a mirror and you can't see them.
Yeah.
It's like the black eyes are that moment of like the point of no return. And that's when things typically get a little bit more intense, where they, instead of requesting, they start demanding, let me use your phone.
Yeah.
Let me inside.
There's no more question mark at the end.
Exactly. They eliminate it. And they shave it off to an exclamation point.
Absolutely.
No curves. Straight as a cucumber. Okay, so that is basically the lore of the Black Eyed Kids. So now it's encounter time.
Ooh, here we go.
So you know what we do here. We do quantity over quality.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to leave anybody
that has to be a
left
shirt.
Wanting more.
We have to make that a shirt.
Quantity over quality.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like our shirt designs. No, just kidding. So this is what we got. We got the first most famous encounter, and then I have five more. That, you know, some of them are very short and I almost said fake. Some are very short and less reliable, and some are more famous, and I'll leave it at that. Apparently, there have been stories that came out that have these black-eyed kids tracing all the way back to, like, the 50s, the 1950s.
Okay.
I don't have those. There's some that from the 50s and the 70s, but all the ones I have here are pretty contemporary.
Okay.
The most famous one, which I know you know, happened in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the stories I have are 2000s.
Okay.
Also, there's no better place to say this in here. This also expands to what people call the black-eyed people, like adults. I don't have any of those stories. I'm keeping this pretty succinct with black-eyed kids.
You know who's got a really good black-eyed adult story?
Who?
Astonishing Legends.
Really?
They did a three-part, not to pimp them too much.
Yeah, should they leave right now? Stop listening to us and go check them out?
No, they shouldn't do that.
Good marketing, Charlie.
I know, right? But they have a really good black-eyed adult story.
Okay. Do you know what episode number?
No.
So, the most famous encounter took place in 1996. Although, I will say I saw some articles, because, you know, I got to cross-check.
Mm-hmm.
Cross-check. I don't give you guys fake news unless I say it's fake news. I also saw reports that had this coming out in 98, but I saw more that had it in 96. All it takes is one person not paying attention to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Switch it to 98. They could throw off so many different podcasts and shows and movies. Bad juju. Anyway, so for the sake of this podcast, we'll say 1996. So this story involves Brian Bethel in, oh gosh, Abilene?
It's Abilene.
Abilene?
Mm-hmm.
Abilene, Texas. Apparently he told this story in 2012 on the TV series Monsters and Mysteries in America.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen it. Sounds good.
I haven't either. It does sound interesting.
So it's 1996 and Brian was leaving his apartment late in the evening to go pay an internet bill. Now, it's 96. This might be the most unbelievable part of the story. It's 1996. Was he paying his Microsoft Paint bill? But anyway, he's driving, leaving his apartment, and he's going to go pay his bill. But being a dude, he's naturally unprepared. So he has a blank check. So he's driving, and he sees a dollar movie theater. And he's like, okay, I'm going to use the glowing light from this movie theater so I can write my check. This is totally dude. Now, this is all believable. That's what dudes
do. I've done that.
Absolutely. You know, you're driving around. You're like, I need to find a movie theater with a big sign saying what movie's playing. And then I'll write my check. So he's alone in his car. He's writing his check. And there's a soft knock on his window. He looks up from his check and he sees two young boys outside his car window. And he figures they're about 10 to 14 years old. The taller boy was wearing a pullover hoodie and jeans, and the shorter boy had pale skin with a green hoodie on. Very bland, not loud, no, like, not symbols, but like brand names or anything, just very plain Jane. He wasn't quite sure why, but Brian had a tiny little ping of fear, and the taller boy told Brian that they needed his help. They wanted to go see a movie, but they forgot their money. But instead of money, they asked if they could get inside Brian's car and if he could give them a ride to their house so they can get their own money. So the boy was saying things like, come on, mister, we just want to go to our house. And we're just little boys. Come on, mister, let us in. We can't get in your car until you do. Just let us in and we'll be gone before you know it. Almost in a hypnotic trance, like I mentioned before, Brian found himself unlocking the door without realizing it, as if he was instructed by the child to do so. Suddenly, he noticed what he was doing and he stopped. And he looked from his hand going towards the door back to the children. And that's when he realized the kids' eyes were solid black. This brought Brian back to reality. He pulled his hand away while the older boy continued saying, "We won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun." And without missing a beat, Brian reversed his car and sped home immediately.
That's what I would do.
Same. I mean, also, I think they said the movie was, Yes. So that's the main story. And not that, like, it's better than any of the other stories I have. I mean, it's better than some of the ones I have. But that's, like, it's kind of like the main one.
It's the first recorded story, right?
I believe so. It's the one that has the most notoriety about Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah, he's been interviewed on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, man, we should fake something and then we could be interviewed on a bunch of stuff. I'm not saying this was fake. I'm just saying he's been interviewed a lot. So let's get to the more encounters.
Okay.
Some are shorter, some are longer, some are well-written, some aren't. All right, let's go. This one takes place in the UK, number one. I'm counting the last one as not number one. Like, that's like the baby. That's like the beginning, the birth of the Black Eyed Kids. It's like
episode zero.
Yeah, it's Resident Evil Zero.
Gotcha.
Even though it happened, well, it didn't happen first. It did, but it didn't. Anyways, UK. I'm going to read this. This is in quotes. Most of these are in quotes. Get my acting voice on. On Saturday, I'm not doing a...
Obviously.
Yeah, I'm not doing an accent.
On Saturday.
On Saturday, 13th September. Is that what you people say on Saturday's 13th September?
Oh, they switched the months. Disgusting. Yeah, they mix it all up.
I'm keeping it Saturday. You don't need to know a month.
Okay.
On Saturday... My wife and I, you'd think I would have read through this once. On Saturday, my wife and I were walking through Canock Chase near to Style Cop with our dog. Once we'd entered the woodland and the road was no longer visible, we started hearing this giggling noise of a little girl. To our amazement, a child no taller than 1 meter, because they don't use feet in the UK, appeared out of nowhere further up the path in front of us. We stopped dead in our tracks after noticing her eyes had no color, completely black. And her head was tilted to the side in much the same way it would appear if she had been hung. She stared at us for about 5 minutes before running away into a densely grouped area of trees. My wife wanted to follow her, but I was having none of it. And that's the end of the story. No. You know what? There's something, it's not grand. And I actually like that. Like, is this my favorite personal encounter? No. But there's something so, like, momentary about it. It's like not everybody's experience is a three-act play.
Mm-hmm.
It all, like, I know I've said this before, but almost the more mundane, not that this is mundane, and actually I gotta say, I love the, not love in terms of like, the hung.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a good description.
It's such a killer detail. Pun intended. And it reminds me, I don't know if you, spoiler alert for the people that haven't seen it, it reminds me of the Haunted Hill, not Haunted Hill House, House on a Haunted Hill? One of those. Bent neck lady.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about when I was reading this. Creepy.
Yeah, oh man, that is really creepy.
Number 2 from Reddit. So you know it's real.
Absolutely true.
Quote, I was home alone in my apartment and working on my online lessons, and I heard a knocking on my door. So I walked out of my room, and I went to the door and looked through a small little window. I saw a boy about 11 years old with what looked like pitch black eyes. I opened the door just the tiniest bit and asked what he wanted. He said, my dad needs to call mom. Can we use the phone? There was no one with the boy on my staircase, so I asked, where's your dad? He said, he's right next to me. And I said, I don't see him. He yelled, he stands right here, and pointed at the ground. So can we use your phone? I told him no, because I don't want strangers in my home, and I shut the door. A few minutes later, I heard loud pounding on my door. I went and looked through the small window, and the boy was still there, eyes as black as night, and he was bleeding from his brow. He must have been pounding on the door with his head. It took hours, but the boy finally left. After he did, I went outside and checked the door, and I was right. There was blood on it.
Oof.
Yeah.
He should have let that go.
See, what's interesting about that, unquote, I guess, Charlie didn't just have a guest spot in that story. And then Charlie comes in. It's like when they put it at the end, it's like so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, with Charlie.
Charlie and Charlie.
It's interesting that they open the door after seeing the black eyes.
Yeah,
now there's people that have eyes that are so brown that they look black.
Yeah, but not like the whole eye.
Didn't somebody say that you had your eyes go black and you kind of went into a rage and you didn't remember it?
Yeah, it was Alex.
Yeah, but
I'm not a black-eyed kid.
No, can you elaborate on that? I was thinking about that when I was typing this up. I'm like, I think Charlie might be a black-eyed child.
I got angry about, I don't remember this story.
You got angry about something, and Alex, I guess, said your eyes literally went black.
Yeah, not the whole thing, though, just like...
Just the pupil.
Yeah.
Your pupils dilated, but maybe you're just tripping.
Maybe it was all, I don't know. Who knows?
Number 3, the next story, from the interweb, the web of truth.
Okay.
Quote again. I like the writing in this one, by the way, just as a heads up.
Okay, all right.
Quote, it almost felt like a dream. I woke up to my dog, Lucy, barking. She was upright on the bed, where my husband and I were sleeping with our 22-month-old daughter, staring at our door like an unknown stranger was out there rummaging around. I thought she was just freaking out over a house noise. I wasn't too concerned initially. I decided the best bet would be to open the door and show her that nothing was there. It sounds a bit silly, but it's what we do with our daughter when she gets scared, and I figured it should work with the puppy too. I opened the door, and she raced to the front door. She stood there, snarling at the door. It was an angry, violent growl, one I'd never heard her make before. I looked groggily at her and opened the baby gate blocking the doorway, planning to open the door and show her that everything was okay. The second my hand reached for the deadbolt, Lucy went wild. She started barking and jumped toward me. And when I touched the metal, she suddenly changed her temper. She whimpered, almost like she was afraid and backing down. As her mannerism changed, so did mine. I wasn't calm anymore. My heart was racing and sinking at the same time. I'd been flooded with a mixture of fear and dread. I looked through the peephole. I can't explain why I looked, but I did. And outside, there were two kids. One was a little shorter than me and didn't look that much younger. I was 21 and she looked to be 16 or 17. She was slender and pale. Her hair was a light shade of honey blonde and she wore it long, about mid-back, with long, thin bangs in the front that covered most of her eyes. She wore jeans and a thin-looking olive-colored hoodie. She held the hand of a small girl who looked to be about 3 or 4 years old in the same style jeans and a button-down ivory cardigan. The smaller one looked at the floor shyly, but had the same shade of hair tied back in a ponytail. Something about them seemed off. At this point, I hadn't made any noise. I hadn't shushed the dog. I hadn't grumbled. Nothing. I hadn't turned on any lights. These kids had no indication that I was at the door, but still the older one spoke. She had a voice that was mature, confident, strong, and accentless. She held her head tilted downward and I couldn't see her eyes. But she said, "We have to use your phone." I stood frozen in fear. How did she know I was there? She raised her head to face me directly, and that was when I saw her eyes. There was a reason I couldn't see them through her bangs before. They were completely black. She said, "Our mother is worried." As someone who has always been interested in creepy stories, I knew what she was the second she looked at me through the door. Now, I've never been one to believe in these things, but I could not rationalize my way out of this. I was standing with nothing but a thin wooden door between me and a black-eyed kid. There was no questioning what was in front of me. I didn't answer her. Instead, I slowly backed away from the door, Lucy still cowering at my ankles. And she kept talking. "Just let us in to use your phone." I took another step back. And with that step, the tone changed. At first, she seemed polite. But when I took that second step back, she became commanding, almost hostile. "We're not going to hurt you. If we wanted to do that, we would have broken in. I'll ask again. May we come in and use your phone?" Lucy snarled at the door, and I inched backward, though something inside me seemed to be slowly pulling me back to the door. It wasn't a physical pulling so much as a subconscious need to go and let them in. But I got back to my room, I covered up the window, I locked the door, and I sat there in the dim light of the night. I heard her call me back to the door one more time, and then it went quiet. I didn't go back to sleep that night, and I haven't slept right since. I know from reading about them that black-eyed kids can't just come in without permission. When I told my husband, he said it was just a dream. He keeps telling me to forget about it, but this lingering feeling of sadness, this dread when the house is silent at night, this fear of a knock at the door tells me otherwise. Boom.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good one, right? That's a good writing. Great. Good writing. If it's fake, that's a good story.
That one's really good. Like, part of me hopes it was fake, but part of me is like, I hope it wasn't fake.
MVP was Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Letting him know. Although she would have slept through the whole thing if it wasn't for Lucy.
Yeah.
Maybe Lucy's in on it.
No.
Damn it, Lucy. All right, we got two more for you. This one is about Halloween.
Halloween?
Halloween. It's just from the internet. Like, but it's about Halloween. Quote, "This really freaked me out. Yesterday, I noticed my neighbor hadn't put out all his Halloween decorations and lights, etc.
Awfully nosy, but okay.
Yeah. The past 2 years I've lived next to him, he's gone all out for Halloween. So I got home from work and was walking out my driveway and I saw him outside. And I said something like, "Hey, man, you better get all your Halloween stuff out or the house up the street's going to beat you for best decorations." Ha ha ha. He kind of smiled sheepishly and says he's actually going to keep his house dark this year and just put candy out. I asked if he was going out of town, but he said no. That something happened last year that really scared him. Now, I was concerned for my own safety if some weirdos or creeps were coming up around our neighborhood, which is actually a pretty safe neighborhood. So I asked what happened. He said last year he had his brother's family over so they could trick-or-treat the neighborhood since they live in an apartment complex that doesn't do too much for Halloween. He had a bunch of kids come to the door like always. His family took off around 10:30, and besides a few older trick-or-treaters, pretty much by 11:30 p.m., was pretty much done. So he was inside watching TV when the doorbell rang. He grabbed the candy bowl and headed over, noticing that it was a little past midnight, and that honestly it was pretty rude for any trick-or-treater to still be out. But then, he noticed he hadn't turned off his lights yet, so his house was still pretty much a beacon. He swung open the door and was about to yell boo, or something to freak them out, but he stopped dead when he sees the kids at the door. He said one was probably about 13 or 14, and the other was about 16 or 17, both boys. They weren't dressed up, but he remembers the older one was wearing a flanneled checkered shirt. He was immediately overcome with uneasiness, like opening the door was a huge mistake. They just stared at him, and he noticed they had really big, black eyes. But he figured they were just contact lenses. He was frozen there holding the candy bowl, like he couldn't slam the door in their face as much as he wanted to. So he nervously tried to smile at them and hoped that they would break character and ask for candy or something. The younger boy said they had gotten lost and they needed to come in and use his phone. That was when he closed the door more than halfway and said, "No, sorry." And the older one said something like, "Can we just wait in your house until our parents come get us?" But then he was convinced that his life was in danger and that these kids must be high on something or are trying to rob him. And he just kept mumbling, "No, no, sorry, you know, good night," as he inched the door closed and he locked it. He told me that he was so scared at that point that they were going to try to break in through one of his windows or something. But then he looked through the peephole and they turned to leave. So I said, "Man, that really sounds like the black-eyed children." And he just looks at me blankly like, "The what? Is that a movie or something?" And I said, "No," and I told him to go look it up online.
Yeah, stupid, look it up online.
Use the interweb. An hour later, I get a knock on my door. And admittedly, I almost jumped out of my skin thinking it was the demon child.
I was hoping.
No.
Oh.
It was a neighbor, and his eyes were huge, and he swears to me up and down that he had never heard of Black Eyed Kids before.
He's like, "Well, I've never seen the computer before today."
It's so nice. It has a CD drive and everything. I can paint, but you have to pay for it under the moonlight and write a check. So we talked a while longer, and I told him that quite a few people know about the urban legend, and it could have just been teenagers with black contacts on to freak people out. But he said the fear he felt was so primal that it could not have been just a regular teenager with contacts in.
Couldn't have been.
Nope, that's it.
All right. I mean, that's a good night to do it, so I don't know.
That is a good night to do it.
There's a lot of sus elements to that.
We still got one more story before we get to the discussion. Yeah. Well, not so much the discussion. The discussion of what it could be.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So before we get to this last encounter story, let's look at some of the trends. Two, they come in pairs.
Yes.
Black eyes. Mm-hmm. Requesting something. The denial.
Yes. Inevitable denial.
Clothing, that's not really...
Not branded.
Not branded, nothing jumps out.
I was thinking of a Black Eyed Children brand. That would do really well. BEC brand.
Let's dive in that. Requesting, then demanding, needing something from them. Creepy feeling.
Yeah.
Shutting the door, more persistence, and such.
I like how the one author is like, "There's just a thin piece of wood between me and the Black Eyed Children." That's creepy.
That is. And you know what? That's the type of context and the kind of like step back stuff I like in real life, where it's kind of like, whoa, this is happening. So what is a question? I'm putting you on the spot here. With all these stories we listen to and all the lore of the Black Eyed Kids, what is, other than what they are, one of the biggest questions that you might have?
What do they want?
Well, a phone.
Oh, I mean, like, what do they really want, though? Okay, all right, that's not the question.
That's not. It's pretty good, but it's not what I'm looking for. It's actionable. It's an action. What if you let them in?
Oh, what if you let them in?
What if you let them in?
That's a good question I asked.
And and the answer, we don't know. No, I'm just kidding. The answer lies in our final encounter story.
Ooh.
This takes place in 2015 in Vermont. And I must say, this might be the only thing that's ever happened in Vermont.
Not many things have happened in Vermont.
I don't think it's real. I think the story made... I think Vermont was created in 2015 because of this story. Like, they were creating a fantasy for the story.
And yeah.
Like, we'll call it Vermont.
Vermont.
Yeah. Seriously, I don't know anything about Vermont. Remember, this is off topic, but yeah, was it New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, yeah.
New Hampshire. We'll talk about that another day. So, let's talk about the final encounter I have, the old couple in Vermont.
Ah.
So the old couple lived in this remote, rural, secluded area of Vermont, which
Everywhere I imagine is Vermont.
The entire state. Yep. It was a stormy winter night, and there was a fresh blanket of snow on the ground. And the two characters' names are wife and husband.
Say old lady one, old man one.
No, that would be ridiculous. Wife and husband. So the wife was asleep when she was awoken.
Awoken.
She woke up to the sound of banging on her front door around 2 a.m. Knowing that it was snowing and that the roads would be bad, her initial thought was that someone had been in an accident and had walked to their home for help. She looked out the window and saw fresh footprints in the snow, and the motion light at their front door was on. So she went and woke up her husband and asked him to see who was at the door. While she was explaining everything to her husband, the banging on her door started again, and her husband went to answer the door while she stayed in the hallway. When he opened the door, there were two children standing in the snow, one boy and one girl. They looked odd, as if they were from a different time period with older haircuts and older clothes, and they definitely were not dressed for the winter cold at all. Immediately, the older couple got an unnerving feeling, and the children would not make eye contact with them. So the husband asked if they were okay, and they asked to come in.
They asked to build a snowman.
They were like, do you want to build a snowman? I know that's not the right, you know the song. So the wife asked where the children's parents were, and the boy said, they'll be here soon. So despite their strong, eerie reactions to the children, the old couple allowed the two children to enter and began making them something warm to drink until their parents arrived. Maybe their old people sensors were just like not working. Like they need to go get an oil change for their creepy sensors.
They're just old in Vermont and very country.
Like their gut reactions just aren't quite right. Like yeah. There's too much blockage from eating like real country food and stuff like that. I don't know. Anyway, the kids came in and seemed to take no acknowledgement of the house. No worries of being in a stranger's home. It was almost robotic. The couple had four very social cats, and all were hiding except for one in particular named Pigeon. Just a stupid cat's name.
I like it.
Pigeon's hair and tail were completely puffed up in response to the children. The wife bent down to pet the cat, but it hissed and it backed away growling. Leaving the cat and bringing the warm drinks to the children was the first time that the wife noticed the children's eyes. All black with no white, just like giant black pupils. It took everything in her not to drop the mugs and run away. After seeing her reaction on the drop of a dime, the children excused themselves to go as a pair to the bathroom. As soon as the children headed to the bathroom, the couple started talking about the kids, and then the husband spontaneously had an intense nosebleed. The woman went to go get tissue for her husband's nose and was just heading back to him when the power went out. In the dark, she found the children were out of the bathroom, completely unfazed by the dark and silently standing in the hallway. They didn't move, they didn't say anything. Just standing in the dark. After a little time had passed, the boy said, "Our parents are here," and they walked to the door, opened it, and left, leaving the door and the cold completely wide open. The older couple rushed to the door behind them and were surprised to see who their parents were. It was two tall, grown men in black suits driving a black car. And that was the last they saw of the Black Eyed Kids, but that's not where the story ends. In the months following, one of their cats hemorrhaged and died in the house. The other three cats ran away and have been missing ever since. Both her and her husband have continued having nosebleeds, and eventually he was diagnosed as having an aggressive form of skin cancer. So, while that might not be across the board, end of story, while that might not be across the board what happens, this is the biggest experience of what happens when somebody let black-eyed kids in. So now, let's discuss what they might be.
The cat that died, that was Pigeon, right?
That's, yeah.
The one that growled.
Yeah. Poor Pigeon.
Rip Pigeon.
So there's no easily defined, this is what they are. It's right. All speculation. Mm-hmm. Just like the Black Knight satellites.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
All speculation. Just theoretical bullshitting. So here are kind of like the main ideas. Vampires, right?
Okay, yeah.
They're vampires because they follow the trope of needing to request something to come in.
Yeah.
Now, there's other tropes that they're not necessarily following.
That's true.
Like, they don't got the big teeth. Mm-hmm. They're not turning into bats. I think it's fangs, not teeth, right?
Yes.
Big old fangs. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no story explicitly where they're eating garlic, but I think it can be assumed that there's nothing about that. But, I mean, beyond that, it's more so just the belief that, you know, the fact that they can't enter without permission.
Yeah.
Interdimensional beings.
Okay.
They come out of nowhere. They disappear all of a sudden. They don't really have a specific place in time. They ask for things outside of what is currently in our contemporary culture. There are stories where they kind of disappear on the drop of a dime. You know, whether or not they're human, they're things that can pass between different dimensions. They don't really belong in ours. I don't know what that has to do with wanting to get let in. I don't know what their goal is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's an interesting theory. It explains why they disappear, but like, what's the goal here?
I don't think any of these actually explain a goal, though. Because even if it's a vampire, going back a step, even if it was a vampire, what's the goal? They come in and then they left. In the one example we have.
Yeah.
Maybe they come in and they kill you, and those people don't have time to go to Reddit and write a story because they're dead, but we don't hear from them. Also, demons.
Yeah.
Black eyes. They don't really attach. I don't know how much I buy into this one.
As jumpy as I am about demons, I don't...
I know, that's like, oh, it's a demon.
No, I don't think that's quite it.
I think it would be more occurring. It almost seems like this could be a one-time experience for people.
Yeah.
And, like, I imagine, and I could be totally wrong here, this is just how I feel. I'm speaking for myself.
Okay.
I feel like demons are kind of like either random passings, or it's an attachment. Or I guess summoning. I guess maybe there's three. But this is literally explicitly somebody coming to your property, asking for something. It's not random. You're not summoning them. Or at least, unless every single one of these stories, the prologue is, well, I was playing with a Ouija board. Every single one of these stories, they were like, yeah, I was playing with a Ouija board, but that probably has nothing to do with
it. Right?
I'm going to start the story where I'm watching TV at my house. That would be hilarious. But it just doesn't fit the narrative of what you would expect a demonic story or a demon to be.
Yeah, no, that's a different kind of thing.
Now, here's one that maybe you'll get excited about. I don't think you buy it, but I think you'll get excited about it. Aliens!
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, right? Now, I think a lot of it doesn't really apply to Alien, although they don't have human characteristics. Black eyes, who knows? I mean, just because there's no, like, lore about aliens, really. Well, I think some of them have black eyes, big black eyes, don't they?
Yeah, grays do.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. So black eyes, they don't quite act like humans. They're
kind of hybrids.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of like other creatures hiding in human skin.
Yeah.
And also, that last story kind of feels like a Men in Black experience, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And it literally feels like the kids came in, they accomplished their goal, and as soon as they were discovered as being black-eyed kids, they excused themselves to the bathroom and they signaled to the Black Knight satellite. They signaled to something, we're done here. The surge was so powerful, it made the power go out in the house. And then the people, the men, the parents, as they called it, came, the men in black came, or whatever, and took them away. That's kind of one context about that story that is extra creepy. It's like, kids come in, say their parents are going to come get them, and it's just these, you know, these men in black, tall, quiet, unsettling men in this all-black car. It's just so, it just...
In a snowstorm.
In a snowstorm. It just screams like cover up.
I don't know. It feels like that they're not able to be defined into any of these categories.
Which is okay. I think it's totally okay to say if Black Eyed Kids are real, they are their own entity.
Yes.
I don't think they need to necessarily fit in one or the other. If I had to pick, I probably would lean either aliens or interdimensional. Although I totally get the vampire lore of needing to request. Because honestly, for aliens, why would they need to request?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
So for me, I feel like if I had to lean one way, it'd be like supernatural, like spiritual supernatural, like some kind of creature on Earth already.
I have a note here that I didn't see before. So in terms of like possession and like the devil, some of the people that believe that Black Eyed Kids are part of like are demons is... It's like a trick. It's trickery. By them asking to come in, you are inadvertently, but still explicitly allowing the devil into your soul, into your life.
It makes sense.
You are accepting the devil. And it's in a very mischievous way. Because you said yourself that when somebody has an encounter with like a little girl, you typically lean demon.
Yes.
So it's almost kind of like it's trickery. It's, you know, let's be the most innocent thing possible to get these people to accept us in. So why not be a child?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how the devil seeps into your life.
Sound like an old Southern lady right now. The devil's coming in.
Yeah. I'm not saying I buy that. I'm just saying that that's, you know, an option, an explanation, perhaps. Now that we've discussed overview, what they are, some encounters, and what they could be, let's go to the real discussion. Okay, so what are your thoughts? I know you know the story. I know you know the lore. Where are you? What are you feeling right now?
I think they're creepy. They're definitely creepy. Like, so my dad's house, my place where I used to live, actually, the door... is there, and on either side of the door, there's, like, two little windows. I think my dad even still looks. Like, it's creepy enough where it got into my wife now and my father's head that there could always be some, like, little kid looking through those windows. It's a story that sticks with you, is what I'm saying here.
Yeah, for sure. Because I still remember the first time you told me the story. Because I remember it was for something else. And you were like, I know what topic I'm going to talk about. I'm like, oh, what is it? And you're like, Black Eyed Kids. I was like, what's that? And I remember for literally the next week, I didn't look it up because I wanted to hear about it. And I was so excited. And that night, I tried taking my dog for a walk. And it was just like, I would look off in the distance on like the road. And it was a little misty that night. And I saw like a traffic light because I live on pretty quiet street. And it's like, ugh. Thankfully, I was with my dog. Not that she would do anything.
Yeah, no, she would lay down.
She would absolutely lay down.
Yeah.
Would invite him in. Like, let me in. Like, you got a treat? You got a treat? You can come in. But, it is a creepy story. It sticks with you. It's just like, it just feels so wrong. Like, the innocence of a child. Yeah. And then the black eyes. And it's just like.
Like, even the story sets off those back of neck, like, tingles.
Mm-hmm. The back of neck tingles. The back neck tingles.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
goosebumps? Okay.
Yes. So humans are now the apex predator, but it almost feels like we've become not in that situation.
That is like a big component of a lot of horror. Is like in our day-to-day life, we don't really fear. I mean, there's always things that can happen. I mean, I guess a bear could kill you. Or you could get hit by lightning. But it's like, it's so minute. Like, you don't wake up and start your day being terrified that so-and-so might kill you. Now, I guess, if I may backpedal, if you're living in a very tumultuous situation where, you know, I'm not trying to make a reference to like physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. Like those living situations aren't what I'm referring to. I'm talking about, like you said, food chain, where it's like when you can live your day without worrying that something is going to kill you like that, where a squirrel, you know, has to worry about like foxes and other things, or a mouse or a snake or birds or fish in the sea. It's like, we can be pretty comfortable as long as you don't jump in the lion's pen in a zoo, that you really don't have to worry about other things besides humans hurting you. So when something interrupts that cycle and you think about like a demon or an alien or a black-eyed kid, it is scary because it takes us so far out of our typical reality.
And they're so foreign that it doesn't feel like another animal. It feels like something else.
Something we can't put our finger on.
Yes.
Because it's like
the scary part.
There's no like, you can't define it. Like a shark, it's like, yeah, they're terrifying, but just don't go in the water.
Or here's the weaknesses.
Yeah, punch them in the nose. Yeah. Apparently that's not, you know.
I don't know.
But like, okay, but the same fear that you might have with a black-eyed kid is the same you'd be if you're in the water floating and you see the fin. You know what I mean? It's like, oh crap. It's like, I'm in this situation. What do I do? Thankfully, I've never experienced something like that. But, well, not to that extent. But I mean, I think that's primal. And that's kind of what they get at in the stories. Yeah. They get that primal instinct that something is wrong and terror.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like before they even open the door sometimes, just like somebody knocking on the door, giving them that feeling. It's creepy. So where do you land on the believability scale?
So where would I put them? I think I go with viable.
That's where I'm at. I feel like we've been necking.
On the same level. Yes. Yeah.
Which.
We've been vibing.
I'm okay with that, I guess. And I feel like I could easily talk myself into believing skeptical.
See, I feel the other way. I feel like I could talk myself into believing believable.
Believable. I'm more skeptical when I try to fit it in a different category. Like when you try and piece it into a demon, piece it into an alien, even though like those are constructs I already kind of believe in, but standing on its own, I actually lean more viable than skeptical.
So what makes me feel like it's believable is probably what makes it fake to many people. That's just because I'm gullible. Like, so I feel like there's so many stories that with that many repetitions, it comes from somewhere, some element of truth.
Yeah. Although it does make it very easy to replicate.
Yeah.
It's like, you already know the formula. If you want to fake a story, it's already been outlined for you.
That's Knock. True.
They want to come in. They want to use the phone. You don't let them in. Hey, I just have a black-eyed kid story. I'm not saying that, obviously I'm going viable, so I'm not saying that discounts it. I don't know, because that when I first heard the story, it really did freak me out. And if it was so unbelievable to me. I'm not saying that I'm going to start going based on how scared I am by what we talk about. But I remember the first time I heard it, it affected me so badly that when I was like walking my dog, like I said, it was hitting me. It just feels like there's more weight to it than some other stories.
Yeah. Well, especially if you like see some kids walking too.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh man, I wonder.
And it's not so narrowed down that it's easy to eliminate. Like, just for a second to talk about like the Jersey Devil, where it's so like specified, like it looks like this, it flies, it does this, it's been seen here. It's kind of like, eh, but was it? You know what I mean? It's like almost like because it's such a broad topic, the black eyed children, that it's like there's more mystery to it. It's like it's not like a defined thing where take it or leave it. It's so, is it aliens? Is it this? Is it its own thing? What are these people seeing? I feel like the story hasn't been fully written on them yet on what they could be, if they're real. And I'm going to leave that book open. So I am firm. I've been kind of debating in my head, but I'm firm on viable. So that is our episode on black-eyed kids. I just want to shout this out really quick, because this kind of sparked it back in my head. I posted this a long time ago. It was October 4th. On our Instagram.
Wow.
It was actually when I started doing the movie reviews.
Yeah.
On our Instagram, because I watch horror movies like eating popcorn. It's just like nonstop. And I don't post all of them on there. Sometimes I watch 3 in one night. That's how late I stay up working on this shit. But sometimes maybe not 3, but I'll watch multiple in one night. And I feel like the next day be like, wait, what was the second one? I like pick and choose different ones. But anyways, that's a long way of saying the very first movie that I posted on our Instagram was called They Come Knocking. And
yeah.
I think it's on Amazon Prime or Hulu, one of those. I think it's Prime though, but it was called They Come Knocking. It looked good. I started watching it. I was like, oh shit, am I watching a Black Eyed Kids movie? And it totally was. It was pretty good. What did I rate it? I rated it 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10. So 80% of me recommends that you go check it out. It's creepy, though. It is creepy. It's one of the... I don't know how many movies about Black Eyed Kids there are. There's probably a handful.
Probably.
But this one was pretty good. So if you like this, I would go check that out. But thank you for listening. I appreciate you listening. Charlie probably appreciates you for listening.
I do, absolutely.
Hopefully you like the topic. I think it's a pretty... I don't know how broad this topic is. Sometimes when we do something like Skinwalkers or Mothman or the Jersey Devil, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I've heard of that. I could see a lot of people knowing about Black Eyed Kids, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't have a good pulse on that.
We've gotten requests to do this before.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not obscure. Like right. Resurrection Mary.
Yeah.
I don't know how popular that one is. La Pachualita. But it's a fun one. It's creepy. It's like... I mean, sometimes when we do an episode, it's like, oh, there's so many built-in jokes that we can do.
Yeah.
But Black Eyed Kids, man, it is.
There's not a lot of funny here. I think we found it. Anyway, if you're enjoying the show and you want to leave us a review on Apple iPhone, please do that because it helps us. It helps us grow. And a 5-star rating, that'd be great.
We would appreciate that. We love seeing them. We love posting about them. Also, if you want to represent the podcast and wear it on your skin, check out believingthebizarre.com. Head to shop our merch. But again, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre
podcast, as bizarre as you are.